Good morning. Good morning on this beautiful, almost fall day, and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. You can learn more about how we are church together through worship and fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. You'll see a list of announcements and a calendar in your bulletin. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship today to receive any questions that you might have. I have two announcements this morning because I know some of us, including myself, are very hesitant to flip that calendar over and see September. But I do want to call your attention to two things that will pop up very quickly. First, kickoff. Yes, kickoff will happen on September 10th. Check out your Harbinger newsletter. It'll have a whole bunch of activities going on for that day, including a very special opportunity in worship to hear the stories about a GPC artifact, and that's all I'm going to tell you. So be here September 10th. And also, if you take a look in your bulletin, there is information about an upcoming book study and meet the author. So the book that we are reading is called Mornings in Jenin, and it is about Israel and Palestine, and I would welcome you to our book discussion. And then we will also, later in the month, have an opportunity to go meet the author. I have one copy if someone wants to borrow it. First come, first serve. All right, and Anne Marie has an announcement.
Good morning. I wanted to let everybody know we had a really successful blood drive on August 21st. We had 15 people who showed up, six from our own congregation, including myself. So we'll have another opportunity to have another blood drive again because it was so successful. So I'll let you know the date and times, and you can sign up to be either a volunteer or to give blood so you can save a life. So thank you very much.
And now, friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
In the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. We belong to God. When we feel overwhelmed, God is on our side. When we are afraid, God will keep us safe. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Blessed be the Lord.
Thank you. Let us join our hearts and voices together in the prayer of confession. Holy One, stand with us. The pain is too much to bear. Our world has dealt so shrewdly with your people that your renewal seems impossible. Fears of economic uncertainty confront us all and seem to limit our choices. Fears of immigrants and strangers in our midst seem to require walls. Fears about changing tradition seem to require blocks to new family expressions. We lament, Mother God, but we don't push through the fear. Let us open ourselves to labor with you. God of Moses and Miriam, I am who I am, makes a way for you. She holds your hand and insists upon life. You are a channel of her love now and always. Praise be to the God of life, who is now and forever. At this time, the children are welcome to come forward. One of the questions that often I get asked by the big people of this congregation is, what version of the Bible should I read? Do you know what my answer is? Whatever one you'll read. There are so many different ways that the Bible is written, and I have a couple that I want to share with you. So, thanks to Lily, my daughter, for inspiration this morning. Okay, so this Bible is kind of an old one. And look how big the words are. I like it when they have the big print because then I can see it. So this version is called the King James Version. And for the longest time, people thought this was the only kind of Bible that you should read. But then, a lot of different Bibles came out. Can I show you one that I read a lot? This is called the Green Bible. Why do you think it's called the Green Bible? If you can see really, really tiny in there, what's going on in there? What's going on, you see? There are green words. That's right. This is a pretty cool version of the Bible because the green words, whenever there are those green words, it reminds us that there are words about the earth and creation. So I like to use that one quite a bit. This Bible, look at this. It has two versions in one book. That means it's really, really thick. But there's a version in here that I like a lot because it's really easy to read, and it tells the story. Okay, I bet this is one you've seen before. This one is the Spark Story Bible. Do you know why I like this one? It has lots of pictures. I bet some of you have this Bible at home because I know we've given this one out here, and it tells a lot of the Bible. All right, one more. This is the one Lily reminded me that we have. And I was on vacation last week, and so the kids I was with, mine, men, were playing this a ton. Anyone know what this is? Minecraft. This is the unofficial Holy Bible for Minecrafters. Oh yeah, this is a good one. I'm telling you, adults, if you don't have this one, this is the one to get. And this is the story that we're going to read today, told by people who love to play Minecraft. So the kids have a special viewing here that you all don't have. This is the story of Moses. Have you heard of Moses? Have you ever seen Moses in Minecraft? Here is your chance. So let's read this. I want you to be able to see the pictures. While in Egypt, the Israelites were fruitful and had many children, and they increased in number and became very powerful. So much, the country was overrun. Look, how did they create a country with little blocks? And Pharaoh grew to dislike the Israelites and treated them like slaves. He commanded them to work on building projects in hope of breaking their spirits. Big. Pharaoh announced a decree that the Israelite baby boys would be thrown into the river, and Pharaoh was determined to reduce the number of Hebrews in his land. But one day, a baby boy, a descendant of Joseph, had a baby boy. Do you know what they named that baby? Baby. I bet they did call him baby. His name is Moses. And during the scripture reading, we're going to hear the entire story. But look at those pictures. You guys think that you could create the story of Moses in Minecraft? I don't think I know how to either. But just, this is a reminder that no matter what version of the Bible that you read God's stories in, it's a good version because you're reading it. Pictures and all. So, can we say a prayer together? Say a prayer. Ready? Try a prayer. Dear God, thank you for your stories in the Bible. Amen. Amen. Oh, you guys did a great job praying today. Thank you. All right, you guys can go back and sit with Mom or Dad or Grandma, whoever you came with today.
On our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when our enemies attacked us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Thank you.
many years before the story we are about to read from the New Revised Standard Version and not the Minecraft Bible, though if you want to follow along, you're welcome to grab a copy. Joseph, familiar character, son of Jacob, was sold off by his brothers to the captain of Pharaoh's officials. While in Egypt, Joseph gains Pharaoh's favor, sets him over all of the land, and in Joseph's years of service to the mighty Egyptian ruler, the land is plentiful. Ironically, the same brothers that sold Joseph find their way into their brother's favor after fleeing their land of Canaan in search of food. And they find their way to Egypt and Joseph, where they are welcomed. The story follows with generations of Israelites growing strong and plentiful in the land before Joseph and his generations die. And the last words in the book of Genesis are, "He," meaning Joseph, "was embalmed and placed in a coffin in Egypt." The story of Exodus begins by emphasizing the number and strength of the Israelite people in Egypt. But there's a new ruler in town. Listen now as we hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. To start, we're just going to begin with verses 8 through 22. "Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, 'Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase and in event of war join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land.' Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built supply cities, Pithom and Ramses, for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. The Egyptians became ruthless in imposing tasks on the Israelites and made their lives bitter and hard service with brick and mortar and in every kind of field labor. They were ruthless in all the tasks that they imposed on them. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shipra and the other Pua, 'When you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, she shall live.' But the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, and they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, 'Why have you done this and allowed the boys to live?' The midwives said to Pharaoh, 'Because the Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them.' So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. Because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. And then Pharaoh commanded all his people that every boy that is born to the Hebrews, you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every girl live. You see, the new king does not like what he sees. There are these other People who do not look like him. People who cannot claim citizenship in his land. People who do not worship the same God as he does. People who do not speak the same language. They may have been welcomed at one time, but those circumstances have been long since forgotten. Institutional amnesia sets in very quickly. And now those people are considered a threat to national security. So Pharaoh did what most leaders do when they feel their power being threatened. He oppresses the threat. The leader of Egypt imposes forced labor upon the Israelite people, so much so that they are no longer people. They are slaves to be owned and worked like animals. Under the law and physical persecution of the government, the Israelites drag large stone blocks across the desert. Can you even imagine? To build homes and palaces, pyramids, entire cities. They work in the fields, they till the land, they harvest the crop that feeds the Egyptian people. Under these grueling physical conditions, the Israelites do more than survive. They thrive. The more hardship that they seem to endure, the more of them there seem to be. The preliminary census reveals that the majority of the babies being born in the country aren't Egyptian. Statistics and growing discrimination expressed by the Egyptian people feed Pharaoh's fear, and he does what seems unthinkable. He establishes a law that all Israelite baby boys are to be killed. But of course, the blood wouldn't be on Pharaoh's hands. He tries to make the women, the midwives, kill these newborn children, and when this proves to be unsuccessful, the midwives respond, tongue in cheek, you heard it. You chuckled because they said, yes, oh, you are right, Pharaoh. The Israelites are strong like animals, so strong, we just can't get there fast enough to deliver the children. But Pharaoh misses the deception, and he takes it upon himself to capitalize on the ingrained belief in the Egyptian people that the Israelites are less than human, like animals, really, and orders that anyone and everyone is authorized to kill Hebrew baby boys by throwing them into the river. The story continues in the second chapter of Exodus. Friends, hear the word of God. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that this was a fine baby, she hid him for 3 months. And when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him, plastered it with bitumen and pitch, and she put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. A baby boy. Not an animal or something less than human. The Hebrew words echoes God's own evaluation of creation from Genesis. A good, beautiful baby boy. And if you close your eyes, eyes and just imagine for a moment, for 3 months, the woman nurses him at her breast and the tears fall on his head. And the mother wonders how long before they discover him and throw him into the river. How long? Not just an Egyptian soldier, but any Egyptian citizen who discovers the secret hiding underneath the swaddling clothes. And this desperate mother must reach a point where she decides that she can't live with the thought of that moment, watching the inevitable unfold in front of her eyes, and takes matters into her own hands. Literally, with her own hands that she has used to hold this baby boy, she creates a coffin made of basket and bitumen and pitch. And the mother of this infant child places him in the basket and sends him down the river. This isn't an effort for a mother to save a child. As Anna Carter Florence notes, this mother knows that this basket will not save him for long. 1, maybe 2 days. It's a message for mothers who are also standing alongside the Nile River. A message that, yes, this is what our life has come to. Yes, this is all I could give my child was 2 more days. This is a heart-wrenching story, one that needs to be set in context, because I think for most of us, we've only just read the children's version of the story, but we must feel that desperation of the mother and at least have a glimpse into the oppression so that we can then approach the radical action of 2 girls. These last verses of the scripture reading for this morning, let us hear God's word. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh then came down to bathe at the river. While her attendants walked beside the river, she saw a basket among the reeds and sent her maids to bring it. And when she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. This must be one of the Hebrew children, she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you? Pharaoh's daughter said to her, yes. So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child, nurse it for me. I will give you your wages. And so the woman took the child and nursed it. And when the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses, because she said, I drew him out of the water. Admire Moses' big sister, standing there in the reeds, arms crossed, protectively watching over her baby brother. She was doing something her mother just could not do, keeping her eye out to see what was going to happen so she could go home and report in, as, of course, we know big sisters have a tendency to do. And she watched Pharaoh's daughter comes down to the river for her bath. Those long, flowing robes, body adorned with the finest jewels, all carefully removed and given to her attendants. Oh, it must have been so freeing for her to escape the weight of what all that wealth meant for her life. She carried it with her every moment of her day, the expectations to be this beautiful, perfect daughter to a father who had so much power and responsibility to keep her people safe from threats. And every day, I can imagine she heard about how the Israelites were after her father, trying to take away his security, his wealth, and threaten his command. But here, in the water, it was different. She could just be herself, free from those expectations and the pressure to please her father. And when she looked into that basket, what she saw would not please her father. She did what would not please her father. The child was crying, and how quickly she could have stopped that crying by closing up the basket, pushing him back down the river, or worse, carrying out the law her father had commanded. She took pity on him. She doesn't ask her dad's permission. Nor does Moses' big sister run and ask her mother's permission for what happens next. Can I get someone to care for the child? Should I find a woman to nurse him? Could a Hebrew woman nurse the child for you? Yes. Yes. There. In the water. A pact is made between two girls. Yes, says Moses' big sister, I will find the mother of this child who will take yet another chance that something may happen to the child she loves. Yes, I am willing to find someone to nurture this life. Yes, says Pharaoh's daughter. I am willing to walk into my father's court with this child and claim him as my own. Yes, I am willing to recognize that this is a life. These two girls make a decision. They take a chance. They both disobey their parents and break laws and go against what they have been taught by all the people around them. And they say, yes, this is a child of God. The work of these two rebellious girls in the water counteracts psychology of hatred and fear, the one that motivates Pharaoh and the people. Their collective work is a gracious defiance because of the way that it embraces life and blurs Pharaoh's attempts to draw lines of distinction between us and them, between Hebrew and Egyptian, between dominating and dominated, between powerful and vulnerable. They say yes. You see, God intervenes in this story of defiant midwives. Two disobedient young girls, and reveals the ways in which we all can be instruments of God's desire for justice and love, for the well-being of all people. This ancient text from Exodus No matter what version of the Bible we read it from, speaks to us today through our own questions and challenges, wondering who is to blame for difficult times, insecure leadership of a nation, hatred amongst everyday people. Wondering in our questions, when does it stop? When do we stop defining ourselves over and against others, and in the process deny others their essential humanity? When do we say yes? You are first and foremost a beloved child of God. I will treat you with dignity. When do we live by faith in a God that is big enough to be the God of all creation? When do our actions, our decisions, our interactions with people in our everyday lives overcome the repetitive history where fear beckons us inward to protect the status quo and the our faith play a bigger role than our reservations not to be too political or religious, to stand with those whom God has called us to stand beside? When do we say yes to the courage and the rebellion of two young girls? The faith-filled people God has called us to be. When do we say yes? Amen.
This is a happy announcement. Next Tuesday, the 29th of the month, Debbie and I will enjoy 64 years of marriage.
That is a happy joy. Thanks be to God. Any others?
Steve Ferguson, I just hope that this week we will keep our thoughts and prayers to the people surrounding Houston at this time.
And prayers for all those impacted by the hurricane.
I had the same prayer as well, but closer to us, Omar, our son, who is in Houston. As of yesterday, midday, they were getting a lot of rain, but church is closed and schools are closed. So just keep the entire state in your thoughts and prayers. Thank you.
And for those who would also like to give action to those prayers, remember that Presbyterian Disaster Assistance does really great long-term work in areas affected by natural disaster. And you, if anyone is interested, you can find them on the Presbyterian Church USA website. We'll have more in the bulletin next. Let us continue our time of prayer together. We thank you, O Lord, that we are not alone. You watch over us and guide us and lead us in your righteous pathways. When we stumble and fall, you lift us up and gently place us on the pathway again. When we doubt, you surround us with your mercy and peace, reassuring us of your presence. Through the love of others and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, God of our life, we continue our prayers for those who are impacted by Hurricane Harvey. We open our hearts in sorrow, gratitude, and hope that those who have been spared nature's fury, as well as those whose lives are changed forever by ravages of wind and water, may find solace, sustenance, and strength in the days of recovery and rebuilding that come. We pray for those yet in harm's way, who wait in neighborhoods while waters rise, who pray for the rains to cease. We pray for those huddled at home or among strangers while wind ravages, for those who have fled from home and wait and wonder. We ask for sustaining courage, for the kindness of strangers, for hope that does not disappoint. God, as these last days of summer are upon us, oh God, we ask that you would guide us with grateful hearts to enjoy the warmth of the sun, the bird song, the abundance of our gardens and fields, and the beauty of the lakes rivers around us. We offer our prayers for the families for whom this time of year also means exciting new chapters of life at college and the start of school, for the mixed emotions of joy and sadness. Be with us. Keep our hearts and minds open and ready to serve you. For we pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. With grateful and joyful hearts, let us now celebrate this morning as we receive the offering.
generous God who always gives to each of one of us the best. We thank you for this opportunity to share from our abundance. Bless these gifts offered through the ministries and mission of this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We go out into this world because God is the God of the great, of the big, of the small, of the young, of the old, of us all. Friends, go. Go knowing God's love is for you. Go with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts and the confidence and courage from the Holy Spirit that it takes for us to go out and love every day. Hallelujah.